Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 17th day of November. I'm Todd Gleason at the iHotel and Conference Center here in Urbana-Champaign for the annual Extension Conference. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We should be looking into on the cash grain market with Matt Bennett, Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mike Tenor, T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Just a few days away now, still an opportunity for you to buy your tickets to the Farm Assets Conference, willag.org, farmassetsconference.com. Frankly, it should be a fantastic day there. If you're out of the field, be sure you get those tickets bought today. We kind of need a good count on how many of you will be around. Again, that's willag.org or farmassetsconference.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
No numbers from the CME group on this Thursday afternoon as I'm emceeing an event at the iHotel Conference Center right here in Urbana-Champaign for University of Illinois Extension at this point in time. You can always go check them out on the CME group website, many other places as well. Speaking of conferences, just a few days away now, Tuesday of next week, the Farm Assets Conference takes place in Normal, Illinois. Should be a fantastic day. If you've not signed up, we'll have a whole bunch of things that'll be worthwhile to see. Not only the Farm Bill listening session and the farm management, nitrogen management session, that with the Bullock brothers, taking a look at whole field variable nitrogen application and whether it really works or not. We'll also have a couple of our panels, and we'll take a look at the price of corn and the price of soybeans as we normally would. And along the way, we'll check out what Agribull and Granular might be doing with you in the future and how they might interact with your home office and what happens, more importantly, in the combine or the tractor cab. Really, this one will be about how things will change for the farmer as we move forward. Should be a great day. That's next Tuesday. You can get your tickets now at willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 13th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold can be found at agrigold.com.
Let me take a moment now to thank you for listening to our ag programming. Thank you. I mean it. Really. Thank you for listening to the programming. And just as a reminder, here's what you hear each and every business day. We start at 8:55 a.m. with the opening market report, including Aaron Curtis, Pete Manhart, Bill Gentry, Ellen Dearden, and Bill Mayer. And then an update at 10:58 a.m. with five other voices, Joe Vaklovic, Greg Ginder, Merrill Crowley, Chip Nellinger, and Steve Georgie, followed up at 12:58 each and every business day with Sue Martin, and then, of course, the closing market report, including our analysts Kurt Kimmel, Wayne Nelson, Jackie Vakes, Dan Zwicker, and Mike Zuzalem. And we wrap up each week by recording Commodity Week on Thursday evening. You can hear it at willag.org that night or on Friday afternoon at 2:36. Oh, and don't forget that we also have a whole series of regularly scheduled analysts during the closing market report for weather. Those include meteorologist on Monday, Mark Russo, Tuesday, Don Day, Wednesday, Drew Lerner, Thursday, Mike Tenora, and on Friday afternoon, both Jim Angel and Eric Snodgrass. WillAg.org. We think it's one of the most comprehensive places that you can find information about markets and weather and agricultural news. Oh, and thank you. Thank you so much for listening.
Of a growing population. Pioneer, with you from the word go.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the 17th day of November. It's a Thursday afternoon. Do visit our website, willag.org. Get your ticket purchased for the Farm Assets Conference. I can't tell you how important I think this one is. Your opportunity to have your voice heard up front, that is, with the listening session. Looking forward to the 2017 Farm Bill. Brand new president in place. And a president that says he very well might be involved in the Farm Bill discussions, you'll want them to know exactly how you feel about the current ARC County and PLC programs, crop insurance. Be sure to come and get that voice heard, yours, at the Farm Bill listening session that kicks off the Farm Assets Conference. And then we'll talk about nitrogen management, precision agriculture. We'll have ag panels there as well. Like yesterday, we talked to Jerry Gulke. He will be on hand with us this morning. Of course, Ellen Dearden was on our air. She's our regular on Thursday. She'll be there. And Kevin Van Trump of the Van Trump Report is coming in from Kansas City. A few others as well. The Farm Assets Conference is next Tuesday. But you got to sign up right now. It's just $30. Great program. And you can be there, but you have to come out of the field. I know you're there, and that's going to be a tough thing to do. Sure would like to have you on hand next Tuesday. Now, let's talk a little bit about the marketplace. Dan Zwicker of Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, with us. Hey, Dan, thanks for being with us today.
You're more than welcome, and sorry I'm going to miss your asset concert, but it's getting too cold up there for me to be there. So I'm going to be down in Waco where it's at least 20 degrees warmer.
Well, let's talk a little bit. Boy, we will miss you. I know the guys will miss you, and we'll look forward to having you probably up here for the All-Day Ag Outlook. That's coming up, of course, in the month of March. Now, let's talk a little bit about the technical side of this marketplace. It's been kind of a weird couple of weeks in the market. It was pretty concerned about Donald Trump and his possible election the evening of the election, settled back pretty nicely since then. But there have been some things working through the tech side. Where do we stand?
Well, I don't know if I necessarily want to call a correction because of Donald Trump. I mean, the market was surprised that he was able to upset Hillary Clinton. So the market naturally, you know, has a knee-jerk reaction. But the market was ripe for a corrective decline anyway after that run-up that we had in October. And then we had a setback. And then we had a little run-up on the day of the election. And that was just kind of an ABC-type correction. And when I look at the charts, corn has kind of pulled back about half of its gain and found support. Soybeans kind of pulled back about 62% of its advance out of the harvest lows and begin to find support. And now I think the market's in a position here to try to regain some of what we've lost and maybe even begin a new leg to the upside. The problem we have, I think, is over on the fundamental side is that farmers have generally been good sellers of both corn and soybeans. Now, they sold a lot of soybeans early because all of the grain merchandisers and market advisors, or a lot of them, were telling them to sell $9. So they sold a lot of beans early. And then I think on this October rally, we saw an additional movement of grain. And as I talk to the end user crowd around the world, it looks to me like they pretty well have their needs covered through January and maybe half of February. I think there's some business coming at us that they'll maybe have to buy some March needs and maybe some spring needs. But a lot of that will probably depend upon how the South American crop develops. But in the near term, both the domestic user and the exporter have enough inventory to satisfy their needs. And seasonally, it's not uncommon for the corn market to, you know, have a harvest low. In this case, we had it on the last day of August. Kind of a post-harvest low or pre-harvest low. And then it's not uncommon for corn to kind of have a setback going into the December delivery period. I know we're still a couple weeks away from that. but it's not uncommon for corn to do that. And then once that December delivery period is kind of out of the way, then corn is kind of seasonally in position to go ahead and start climbing higher as we go on into the new growing season. Now, soybeans are a shade different. I mean, soybeans, as a rule, put in their harvest low, and they really don't look back. But they do have a tendency to have kind of a setback in that late November, early December time frame when corn has this setback. So I think that's still in the cards, but the way the market has pulled back after the election and has kind of stabilized at these support points, and I look at the daily indicators, it tells me that there is room anyway for the market to try to recover maybe some, maybe going into the next week, early next week, Thanksgiving. Historically, Thanksgiving weekend has been always a good time frame to sell some inventory because farmers have a tendency to be increased sellers as you go into December 1. There's a lot of cash rent checks that are due December 1, and then they got a lot of that prepayment due during December. And then we always see a big movement, country movement of sales anytime after the first of the year. So I think the end user crowd is just going to sit back and kind of wait on those sales to materialize. That doesn't necessarily mean that we have to go lower. It just means that the end user crowd is not under pressure to bid up the price of grain to pull out of farmers' hands, because farmers are going to have to need some cash in here starting December, and then that kind of increases as we go on into the first of the year.
Informa released some numbers this week looking forward into 27 and potential acreage changes. They dropped the corn acreage by about 3.65 million acres from last year. Soybeans up 4.91 million acres. Do you see that kind of swing?
Well, I think it's in the cards. I mean, anytime you get into low margins, farmers have a tendency to move toward beans because beans is a little more less expensive crop to put in the ground. Corn is a much more expensive crop. And then after all of the big increase in corn acres that we saw this year, there's probably room for some rotation back to soybeans. So, yeah, I would not necessarily disagree with that, at least early projection. A lot of that will probably depend upon what happens in South America and whether or not the corn market would rally during the insurance month of February. I think if new crop December corn futures would rally back up into the $3.94 range, I think that would probably put more corn acres back into production. Realizing that that doesn't necessarily make a lot of money for the eastern Corn Belt farmers, but your western Corn Belt farmers have a lower cost of production because their land costs are cheaper, and I think that would keep corn acres fairly stout probably in the western Corn Belt.
Hey, Dan, thanks so much. We'll talk with you not next week, but in 2 weeks because it's Thanksgiving. You have a good holiday.
Okay, that sounds good.
Thanks so much. Of course, that's Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. We're here at the I Hotel and Conference Center in Urbana, where the Extension folks from the state of Illinois have been meeting. Travis Mateer from Southern Illinois has come up to talk with all the rest of the crew. Thanks for being here, Travis. I know you cover cattle and the livestock industry. It's been kind of a tough year going into the winter months when you don't have pasture and you really have to begin to think about what you're doing. What should producers consider to control costs?
Well, Todd, I think the obvious here is in a downward trending market, producers obviously don't have as much revenue flowing in. And so when we look at the profit equation, what's coming in and what's going out, now that we have less coming in terms of revenue, We've got to adjust our cost side of the scenario to make sure that we still meet our profit goals in these beef operations and these cow-calf farms and feedlots in Illinois. And so that's the thing that producers need to be looking at is cost control, what's the return on investments in terms of what decisions are being made, and that's hopefully some resources we can help them out with.
What kinds of things?
Obviously, feed costs. Feed costs represent 60% of the total cost in a beef cow-calf operation. So producers that can save hay waste, they can graze corn stalks, they can look at cover crop options, alternative feeds like co-products, byproducts, and maybe even waste stream, food waste stream feeds. They need to be considering all these options that can pull that feed cost down and allow those producers to make some money on the other side.
If they were to use distiller dry grains, I don't know about feeding wheat in Illinois, but in the West, potentially, what kinds of considerations are there?
There's plenty of considerations. We've had diplodia damaged corn. That may be an option locally for cattle feeders to utilize. That might be a bargain for them. Co-products like distillers grains, wet corn gluten feed, all of those things really do help and make some benefits to producers' bottom lines. I think the cover crop option that we do have, we've had really productive land in Illinois. And once we get that row crop off of there, the cover crop can be a grazable forage that's utilizing that acreage with not a lot more input in terms of dollars and fertilizer and planting fees.
Other things that they might consider to take a look at as they go through this winter season?
Overhead cost, very hard discussion to have with producers. Living costs, those things do affect the bottom line. We have to realize if you've purchased a new tractor or a new pickup truck, you've got to spread that over your farming enterprise. And so reevaluate where you are on overhead cost. If you don't need the extra equipment or you don't need the extra facilities, those things need to be pulled out and merchandised to allow for profit in these operations.
This is the flip of what we had a few years ago when the price of feed was so very high and they were looking at really high input costs. This time around, the price of beef cattle is really low, but the bottom line is the bottom line, I suppose.
Yeah, and most farmers in Illinois are diversified farmers, so they're feeling the pinch from the corn and soybean side. Cattle prices are lower. The pinch is on in the farming communities in Illinois, and it's just down to business now. We need to evaluate the cost structure of our operation to allow some profit and just get down into the books, take that pencil, sharpen it up, make sure that there's opportunity to cut those costs back and allow profit.
Travis, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Travis Mateer is a beef
extension educator.
Travis Mateer is a beef extension educator in Southern Illinois and for the whole of the state of Illinois. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers, helping farm families succeed for 100 years.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, again at the I Hotel for the annual University of Illinois Extension conference. On the phone line with us is Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting, Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Farmers have wrapped up harvest for the most part. They've shut the bin doors. Are they going to be willing to open them up, do you think, in the near future?
Well, you know, whenever you look at the way basis has behaved lately, it's actually pretty decent. And so, you know, I don't know that we're going to improve substantially from here forward, but I think that after you maybe get through a little bit of January glut of grain moving, and you probably could expect basis to continue to improve in a normal fashion. You know, at this point, you've got a carry in the market. You're still looking at around, a 22-cent carry to the July. And so I think guys in the bin especially probably ought to look at selling the carry in the market once they feel like they've gotten enough of the rally that they think that they need to get.
How do you go about doing that?
Well, I mean, I'm just telling my guys we can sell the July. You know, that doesn't mean you have to hold the corn of the July. You just sell the July, and then every time the basis improves, you know, your net amount of money that you're going to receive is gonna be better. And that's essentially what the grain elevator does. You know, they everybody thinks they make their money on storage and drying, but it's actually on basis. We were in the elevator business for years, and that's how we made our money every year, is by taking advantage of improvements in basis throughout the marketing year.
How much of a worry to you was the USDA's increase of 1.9 bushels to the acre for corn?
You know, to me, I was a little surprised. I did know that there was a lot of guys in the upper Midwest talking about quite a bit better corn than what they'd ever seen, you know, particularly in the Dakotas, in areas. There was parts of South Dakota, you know, yet that had major drought. So it was tough to get a real good handle on it. But, you know, I wasn't surprised that it went up. I was just surprised how much it went up. I definitely wasn't in that camp. I was thinking half bushel either way. But bottom line, it is what it is. You know, it's a big crop, and it's going to be really tough to get the market to rally substantially unless you get some sort of a weather issue, you know, out of South America at this stage.
Acreage change won't be enough. It looks like Informa's thinking there might be a pretty good switch on.
Yeah, they're not the only ones. You know, CF Industries, I think they said 6.5 million acre drop in corn acres based upon what they were seeing fertilizer-wise this fall. Informa's just a shade over 90. You know, I think 90 is probably my over-under at this point. But, in my opinion, I think that you're going to get bean acreage about as close to corn acreage on plantings as what we've seen in quite some time.
And finally, your best advice for producers as it relates to marketing what they have for soybeans left to sell.
Yeah, I think that if a producer had phenomenal soybean yields, which almost every producer I talked to this fall did, I would have a hard time sitting on very many beans, if any. And I would certainly be taking a very strong look at 17 beans. We're trying to place our hedges in the July because we feel like eventually there will be a carry from the July to the Nove. And right now, you know, July is 20 cents better than the Nove. So I would be looking pretty closely at making some moves on soybeans and keeping a little bit of flexibility while you're doing it.
Matt, thanks so much.
Yep, thank you.
Matt Bennett is with Bennett Consulting. Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois, joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. To visit our website, the address is willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming and a way still to sign up for the Farm Assets Conference. That's willag.org, Farm Assets Conference. If you want all the details, either place will get you to the registration page. Get yourself registered as early as possible, and that means now, because we need to kind of know that you'll be there next Tuesday at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center in Normal, Illinois. We'll be back in 2 minutes. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather out of Chicago.
Support for WILL comes from the Friends of WILL and Busey. With nearly 150 years of agribusiness experience, Busey offers solutions, resources, and expertise to support landowners. Busey, your dream, our promise.
It's Homemade Bread Day. It's also a feast to St. Elizabeth of Hungary, patron of bakers. On this day in agricultural history in 1749, Nicholas Appert was born. Appert was a French cook and inventor who developed the method of preserving food that we call canning. He originally used glass jars sealed with wax and reinforced with wire. In 1865, William Burton was born. An American chemist, he devised the first thermal cracking process that more than doubled the proportion of gasoline yield from crude oil. His high heat, high pressure process saved more than 1 billion barrels of crude in its first 15 years of operation. In 1869, the Suez Canal opened, linking the Red Sea with the Mediterranean Sea. In 1988, Walmart opened its first supercenter in Wheeler, Oklahoma. It carried fresh meat, produce, dairy products, and baked goods, in addition to other standard supermarket products and discount store merchandise. And in 1996, the World Food Summit concluded. Delegates promised full efforts to ease world hunger. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Thursday afternoon. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. Do visit our website, willag.org. Pick up your tickets today, farmassetsconference.com. Just $30, and if you're a farmer, you come to the event, you're there for the listening session in the morning, you'll be reimbursed for that money. And you can also walk on over to AgriBowl if you're a Corn Growers member or sign up that day for a $2,000 years or subscription. Should be a great day. That's next Tuesday in Normal, Illinois. All the details at willag.org. Now, on the phone line with us is Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us. Let's start out west because they've had some pretty dry conditions for the winter wheat.
There have been very dry conditions across the hard red winter wheat belt. A lot of this area has not seen very much rain over the last 60 days. And we're starting to see 90-day dryness emerge as well. Once you're very dry over the last 90-day period, we would consider you in an agricultural drought. So there are agricultural drought conditions developing in parts of the plains and in parts of the Delta and the Corn Belt for that matter. This does include a portion of the hard red winter wheat belt as well as the soft red winter wheat belt. So between both of these areas, we would benefit from a round of rain, especially with the winter coming up. The winter is typically a fairly dry period across the plains. So if you go into the winter dry, it's more than likely that you're going to move into the spring dry simply because a lot of these areas only average 1 inch of rain or less per month in December, January, and February.
So the further we go, the less likely it is that they'll have relief for their drought then until next spring, I take it.
That's exactly right. That's typically the way it works. But it doesn't take much to get one big winter storm. That's all you really would need to alleviate a dryness situation. Sometimes you can get 10, 20 inches of snow in the plains in one day, and then it's over, and the rest of the winter would be fine. But if you get that one big event, all the problems are over with. So that's why a lot of the times we don't spend a ton of time trying to figure out long-range weather forecasts for the plains. We just know that one event can change everything. And we've seen that happen many times over the last 10 years. So at this point, something to watch, not something to be overly excited about. It's just a little bit too early.
The other primary growing region we're concerned with at the moment is in South America, Argentina and Brazil. Where would you like to start there?
Well, let's start in Argentina because that's easily the simple part of the forecast. There's no rain on the way for Argentina over the next 7 to 10 days. And since most areas have been near or wetter than normal over the last 30 days, there's not too much to be excited about. As of 1 week ago today, 11% of soybeans had been planted in Argentina, and we think that with this dry forecast, we'll see very quick planting rates over the next 7 to 10 days, so that they should be in pretty good shape by this time next week.
And in Brazil?
Brazil's looking pretty good. There are some dryness areas developing in the south, while at the same time, some of the dry areas of the north have turned wet. So kind of a mixed bag in Brazil, but it's only the middle of November. Typically, yield reductions don't happen until December, January, and maybe even February, depending on the crop. So with it being November and without there being too many problems, there's just not too much to be excited about at the moment.
Hey, thanks so much, Mike.
You're welcome, Todd. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Mike Tenor with T-Storm Weather out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. Pick up your tickets to the farmassetsconference.com website right now, today.